This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Last night, gospel singer Marianne Williams was one of the people honored by the president at the Kennedy Center for Lifetime Achievement in the Arts. Earlier this year, she was given a so-called Genius Award from the MacArthur Foundation. Williams has often been called the greatest living gospel singer, but the Rolling Stone album guide said one will come away from her recordings believing she was nothing less than the greatest singer ever. Williams started her career with the Ward Singers in the 1940s when she was still a teenager. She later led her own group, the Stars of Faith. She was born in Miami in 1927. She now lives in Philadelphia's inner city near her home church, the B.M. Oakley Memorial Temple Church of God in Christ. She sang Amazing Grace on Bill Moyer's TV documentary about the song. She also sings it on her new album, Can't Keep It to Myself, on Shawnee Records.
That's the old way of the black folks singing Amazing Grace. There's a white way. A lot of folks don't know that. It's a white way of singing it. And it may sound like whatever. But it's so. It's a white way of singing it, and it's a black way of singing Amazing Grace. Because the whites sing it, straight. Amazing Grace, how sweet. But when that song, I always say this, that Mr. Newton, he probably wrote the words, yes. But I feel like he got the tune from the slaves. And where they moaned and whatnot because of the hurt and the beating that they were getting. So when they were saying, and they had to catch their breath. And so the first part of that we're singing in the black way is telling of the way that their mother, sung Amazing Grace and remembered that.
Did your mother sing when you were young?
My mother was a songster. I tell you, she sung. She used to come on the radio singing at her church. And, then we didn't pay no attention as folk being stars. She used to sing every Sunday night. She had her song, Oh Jesus, Let Me Ride, Low Down the Chariot, and Let Me Ride. And the white people from the beach, the Jewish people used to come in. They used to pack the church out so they could hear Rosetta Tharpe. Rosetta Tharpe used to be down there at that time. And my mother would be the one that brings for the congregation song, yes.
This was in Miami?
It's in Miami, yes.
Now, what was your mother's singing style like?
Old style, It was the old sanctified way of singing the gospel. With a lot of shouting and whatever and hoops and,
Can you sing in her style?
Mm-hmm.
Is it your style or is it different?
I got some of her style, yes. Yes, I can't help but have, Can't help but have that.
So you grew up in Miami. What kind of churches did you go to when you were very young?
Oh, now, that's a nice question. I went to two churches when I was very young. I started in the Church of God when I was 3 years old. My aunt took us to church. My mother didn't take us. My mother was not religious at that time. And my aunt took us to church, and I can remember singing. My first song was, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, for the Bible Tells Me So. And then from then, people there recognized that I had talent as a little child, and they helped to cultivate that.
So you said you went to two churches. One of them was the church your aunt took you to.
Yes.
What was the other one?
The other one was my mother's church. I mean, she got religious. Then she, in fact, she got sanctified, you know, and that's our church. We call it, y'all call it the Holy Rolling Pentecostal, but it all sanctified the church, you know. And her church was Church of God in Christ. The other church was Church of God. And her church was Church of God in Christ, which I am a member in today. And Church of God was on one street, and the Church of God in Christ was on the other street. And so all I had to do was go through a pathway to get to the other church, either one of them, you know.
What was the difference in singing styles between the two churches?
Okay, the church that I came, the Church of God, had their own style, right? They were from the Bahamas. They was from the Caribbean. And they sung mostly hymns, the hymn song, like Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty, and things like Blessed Assurance, you know. They believe in singing from the book. They believe in the book. When I went to my mother's church, they didn't think about no book. They just had ballad songs. They just remember songs like, you know, things like I'm Glad Jesus Lifted Me, or they'd take a verse out the Bible and just make a song out of it, you know, and things like You Can't Hide, No Need to Try, You Can't Get By Because You Don't Know How. It's on that record. I made that. I wanted to make that on that record. Yeah, God got your number. You know where you live. Death got a warrant out for you, you know. We have all those things in the church there. And they sung it. It was beautiful.
Why don't we listen to it now as you recorded it on the new album?
Oh, right.
Okay. And
Come Out the Corner is the name of it.
And the album's called Can't Keep It to Myself. And this is my guest, the great gospel singer, Marion Williams.
You can't hide. No need to try. You can't get by.
It's Marion Williams from her new album, Can't Keep It to Myself. When in your life did your sense of Jesus Christ really start to take shape? Did that have a...
In the early years, you mean? Mm-hmm. When it did? Around 8, 9 years old, mm-hmm. I can remember. Yes. And the Spirit of the Lord would get upon me in the church, and I would shout, you know, and there's something come over me that was different from the ordinary, you know. And I knew then that was the Spirit of God.
I know your father died when you were a girl.
9 years old.
And your mother had diabetes.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. she even had both legs
yes.
amputated as
yes.
a result of the diabetes. And when you were in ninth grade, I believe it was after ninth grade, you had to leave school so you could take
That's
care of your
right.
mother
this
and go to work to support her.
That's right.
And you worked in a laundry for a while.
A laundry.
What was that like?
Oh, it was horrible. Because I wouldn't see daylight from one time to the other until I got off late at night, 11 o'clock at night. And so one day, this Jeremiah Pratt, I'll never forget him from Miami, he was like a father to me. And he played the bass violin. And he said to me, he said, Marion, he said, I want to talk to you. He said, I don't think you need to be on that job that you have, that laundry job. He said, because you have too much talent, he said, to just be slaving like that, you know. He said, I feel like I want to take you off that job so you can sing. I'm going to have a group. I'm going to get a group together. And that's what he did. And he put me as the lead singer of that group. And We went traveling all around Florida, you know. That's why I know how to sing the different styles, because I visited different churches and, you know, and it was just great. And I stayed with them until I joined the Ward Singers. Mm-hmm.
When you were a teenager, mm-hmm. you went north to visit your sister in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and that's where you heard the Clara Ward Singers, who...
I went to their programs. My girlfriend took me to that program.
And you sang with them one night, and then they asked
you
to join?
No, I didn't sing with them. Uh-huh. I sung by myself.
I see.
I did a couple of solos, and they shouted for about 20 minutes, you know, and the church, they couldn't get right. And after that, that night, they asked me to join their group. And I said, no, I can't join your group. I had to see my mother. I talked with my mother about that.
And what did your mother think about the idea?
Well, when I went back home and I told her about it, she said, she did one of those things. She just grunted. She had no thoughts, you know, one way or the other at the time. So the Ward Singers called and they wrote me a letter and wrote my mother a letter and said they wanted to come down and they want to take me back with them and they want to talk with my mother and whatever. And for us to book them some programs the week that they were going to be here. And so we did. And they came down and stayed in my mother's house. They all stayed there. We had a great time together. And they told my mother they would like to take me with them. And she said, well, I don't know about all that. She said, well, if you're going to take care of my child, you know, whatever, and told Miss Ward. And Miss Ward told her, said, yes, I will take care. I'll be a mother to her, you know, while she's away from home. And she did. The early years, she was like a mother. And came back while they were there. Well, I had to get all these things, what they used. You know, they were glamorous then with their, you know, clothing and whatever. They wore glamour clothes, you know.
You weren't used to that.
No, I wasn't used to that. No. I had some flat shoes. You know, I wear used to flat shoes and little cotton dresses, gingham dresses, you know. And that was it.
Gospel singer Marion Williams is my guest. She has a new album called Can't Keep It to Myself. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. We're back with gospel singer Marion Williams. You were known for, when you were singing in church, going up and down the aisles.
Yes.
And on some songs, even sitting on people's laps.
Yes. How you know all that?
Oh, from reading about you. I wish I could say I knew
really?
About it from actually seeing you do it. But I'm wondering how you developed that style.
I always give God the credit. I give God the credit for everything when things happen with me. That's good. I was singing in Chicago one night. I used not to run out of the aisle all the time. And we were singing, Surely God is Able. And that just looked like the folks were just sitting there and they weren't heeding no horn. You know, they wouldn't look like they weren't enjoying us and whatever. Just very dead because it was a dead church anyway. And I was singing, Surely God is Able. And just a most fervent moon, something like, run down that aisle, just like that. And I ran down that aisle, and when I did that, the people, they just shouted, they just hollered and cried and whatever. So, those things, it was spontaneous, you know, of course. And ever since then.
Now, what about sitting on people's laps?
Oh, sitting on people's lap. Well, that came, you know. That was another thing that the Lord gave me, just to sit on laps. And I sat on somebody's lap, and they told me to get off their lap. I also used to sing Packing Up, and I used to get the pocketbook and put it under my arm and go down the aisle. And I reached for this lady pocketbook, and she wouldn't let me have it. You know, we were just tussling. I was just singing and she was tussling. And she said, go pack up with somebody else's pocketbook. Don't bother mine. And there was another time I went to another place to sing, and we sung packing up, and I went to reach for this man's attaché case, and he told me, he said, and I was just singing, he said, all right, there's a gun in there. And I left that thing alone, honey, and went down that aisle and started shaking folk hand. Yes, indeed. So I've had quite a bit of experiences, and the Lord have given me different things to do when I sing.
The song that you mentioned, Packing Up, is on your new album. You have a new recording of that. So why don't we give that a listen?
You know how old that song is?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's hitting 40 years. I've been singing it in the early 50s.
This is Marion Williams singing Pack It Up from her new album, Can't Keep It to Myself.
Packing up, I'm getting ready to go. Yeah, when I pray and earnest prayer, King Jesus told me that he's gonna meet me there. Yeah, then I tell him, please make me stronger. I can't hold out no longer. Then a wheel begin to turn in me, yeah. A little fire begin to burn in me. You know I'm packing, I'm getting ready to go. Yeah, don't you know I'm packing, packing, yes.
That's Marion Williams from her new album, Can't Keep It to Myself. You have such a wonderful style of singing, and it's the kind of gospel singing that a lot of rhythm and blues singers and soul singers have modeled their singing on. I imagine that you got plenty of offers to cross over to secular music.
Yeah.
What kind of offers did you get, and why did you always turn them down?
Well, I got an offer in Europe when I went there with Black Nativity.
This is a Langston Hughes musical.
Yeah. And they offered me $100,000.
Yay.
To sing that pop song. And they fixed all kind of beautiful things for me to eat and took me to this mansion home. It was a mansion. And I ate up all their good food. It was so good, very good. And while I on the last one, I was eating the dessert. Then they brought the song out, and they told me they wanted me to sing that song. And they put it on the stereo and for me to hear it or whatever. I listened to it and looked at the paper, the music sheet. And I told them, I let them know. Because I was going to Paris the next day. And this was London, England I was in. And I was going to Paris the next day. Went to Paris. And I got in the hotel room. And the Lord began to deal with me. And let me know not to cross over. I said, because of the gospel, and you've been singing the gospel, that's why these folk love you, because you sang the gospel. Said, you can't go back on me now. Talk to me just like you would talk to me, you know. And I sat there and I listened and meditate and whatever. And then I began to cry, and because the money sounded extra good, you know. It was hard turning it down, really. I have to be truthful about that. But when the Lord got through dealing with me, I called my manager because she was downstairs in her room. And I called her. I said, Barbara, I said, I won't be able to do that. What? She said, oh, you're crazy. She said, do you have good sense? I said, yes. I said, but I won't be able to do it. Yes, indeed. So she just couldn't get it. She didn't speak to me for a couple of months after that. She was very angry with me.
I think a lot of our listeners might be wondering, how is it that a woman with such a big and powerful singing voice has such a comparatively small speaking voice?
I've always wondered that myself. Oh, I don't know why. But I don't sing. I don't talk very loud. I don't. But when I give me that sing, it starts me to singing, and then I'm ready. Mm.
Do you feel almost like two different people?
Almost, when I'm talking and then when I'm singing, yes.
What happens to you when you sing? What kind of change do you feel?
What happens to me? Spirit of God, honey. Overflow me, you know, and illuminate me and whatever. Because I keep prayerful and whatever, yes. And once you keep meditating day by day or hour by hour, you'll hear me in a minute say, yes, Lord, oh, hallelujah. And that's what I'm worried about when I go to the White House and the Kennedy Center Honors. If whoever's singing for me on that night, you know, to entertain me that night, which will be some gospel groups, I say when they hit the right thing, I know I'm going to say hallelujah, you know. I know that. So my producer said, well, Marion, you can't do that. You're going to be sitting up there with the president. I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, the president's going to hear hallelujah.
He'll probably appreciate it.
Yes.
Well, Marion Williams, I want to congratulate you on the MacArthur Award and on the Kennedy Center Honor. Congratulations on your new album as well. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Marion Williams received her Kennedy Center Award last night. Our interview was recorded a couple of weeks ago. Williams has a new album called Can't Keep It to Myself on Shaughnessy Records. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.